You've just heard a selection by the Youth Choir of Faith Free Presbyterian Church. This is just one aspect of the Christ-centered worship which is at the heart of our services. Please continue to listen to this CD for testimonies by members of Faith Free Presbyterian Church telling what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in their lives as well as what our church means to them. Then you'll hear a brief message by the minister of the church, the Reverend Colin Mercer.
The highlight of the work at Faith Free Presbyterian Church is preaching the fullness of Christ.
I heard the gospel in family devotions, and through the family devotions I came to Christ. And through the preaching of His Word, I came to a full assurance of salvation.
The emphasis is given to the person and work of Jesus Christ, which is so important in this day and age because that is the gospel.
And our pastor over the years has emphasized the importance of families meeting together and praying together, and especially at prayer meeting.
I was working in a music store in Arizona, and a general manager took the time to take me to lunch when I was preparing to leave that company, and he shared with me a scripture, John 3:16 even. And the rest of that day and that evening that the Lord brought me down inside, and I found myself calling out upon His name.
When I was 17 years old, I come to the realization that there was nothing that I could do to get to heaven and realize that Christ was the only one that could do that for me and put my complete faith in Christ.
Well, it was at our church where we first had a clear presentation of the gospel.
Where the prayer meeting was the focus of the week and where I could learn to pray.
And we are so thankful for preaching that exalts our Lord. We love the singing here. We love the fellowship that we have with other believers.
I would encourage anybody that wants to know the truth, come and hear the truth.
If someone were to ask me, why should I come to Faith Free Presbyterian Church, I would say because you will hear the Bible clearly explained. You will hear Jesus Christ and the way of salvation, the only way of salvation, clearly taught, and you will find a group of people who care about what's happening in your life and want to see you go on with the Lord and find salvation in Him and live for Him.
They're going to hear the preaching of the gospel. That's what I like.
I could not do.
Blood must be my only hope and During his outstanding ministry, the 18th century evangelist George Whitefield visited one of London's fairs to preach the gospel. Preaching three times in one day, Whitefield competed with the shouting, singing and swearing of other traders so that he could arrest the attention of the people and preach the fullness of Christ to them. As a result of that day of intense preaching, many sought and found the Saviour. However, George Whitefield was not the first preacher to adopt that method of reaching people. Isaiah, the famed Old Testament prophet, became a marketplace minister with the sole purpose of presenting a full Christ to empty sinners. This old-time preacher lifted up his voice and with all the strength he could muster, cried across the gathered multitude, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." This was the one theme that the men and women of Isaiah's day could not afford to ignore. His message rose far above the material and came right to the heart of every man's spiritual and eternal need. These words in Isaiah 55 expose the emptiness of the world and expound the fullness of Christ. Although Isaiah 55 is an old message, its three essential strands are perfectly suited to life in the 21st century. I have three observations here. I discover, first of all, the misery experienced. Isaiah had the awesome responsibility of speaking to a people who were in great spiritual need. Although they were carrying on with the rituals and routines of their religion, nothing could mask the fact that they were living an empty existence. For years they had followed a course of sin. They loved pleasure more than they loved God. They ignored the warnings given by faithful ministers. God's word meant little or nothing to them. And instead of trusting and obeying him, they lived for self and sin. They had so much of this world, but they lacked the one thing that was needful. They were not right with God. Therefore, they were miserable. They were running on empty. As Isaiah explains, they were spiritually thirsty, poor, dissatisfied, discontent, far from God, and dead in their trespasses and sins. They were looking for something, satisfaction, peace, joy, comfort, contentment, looking for something worth living for. But as they were looking in the wrong places, they remained empty and miserable. It's no different today. We still chase after things that can never really or eternally satisfy our souls. Like King Solomon, we give ourselves to the pleasures, philosophies, and sinful pastimes of life, only to discover that it is all vanity and vexation of spirit. The ultimate cause of man's misery is his sin. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, they lived in a perfect environment with perfect enjoyment and perfect employment. There was nothing to hinder their contentment, nothing to mar their communion with God. However, that perfect situation was shattered when they sinned. Adam's transgression brought him and all mankind after him into a state of sin and misery. He lost his communion with God, came under God's wrath and curse, was made liable to all miseries in this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. Sin plunged Adam and Eve, and us, into a state of misery. When Christ told the parable of the lost son in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, he described a young man whose life of reckless sin resulted in him being brought to the point where he cried, "I perish." His sin had led to misery. In olden times, there was a herb called Apium sardus, which if eaten would make a man start to laugh, but at the very same time would cause him to become seriously ill and eventually die. Sin has the same devastating impact on the soul. We may experience all of the pleasures, riches, fame, prestige, and popularity that this world can afford, but none of those things can truly satisfy our immortal soul or give us peace with God. A life lived without God is a life running on empty. Isaiah 55 also carries the message that's explained. The Word of God speaks to us as we live in the misery of our sin. The gospel message demands answers. And in Isaiah 55, I discover the challenge of the message. Isaiah was pointed in his question to the unsaved of his day. He asked, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not?" Those words probed the conscience. People were being asked to think about their spiritual condition, their wasted lives, their standing before God, the emptiness of their spiritual state. They were being challenged to consider the impact of sin upon their souls. We too are challenged to think on serious things. There are questions in Scripture that we should give considerable attention to. Questions such as, is thine heart right? Questions like, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Questions such as what Christ asked in Matthew 22, what think ye of Christ? Or those great words in Acts 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the challenge of the gospel. Isaiah 55 also deals with the call of the message. This is a text of invitation and presents the free offer of the gospel. Come ye to the waters. Think of it this way. There is nothing in the world that can meet our spiritual need, nothing to satisfy our souls. Therefore, we need to flee to Christ and receive of him that which will meet our greatest need. And note that the call of the gospel is not that we go and work for salvation. Rather, it is, come and your soul shall live. When God spoke to Noah after the completion of the ark, it was to command him to come into the ark. And the offer of the gospel remains the same. We must come to Christ, for he has said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 55 presents the caution in the message also. There was an urgency in Isaiah's call. In verse 6 he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. There is a time to be saved, a time to call upon the Lord, and it's now. There is no promise of tomorrow, no guarantee of another opportunity. As Paul simply explained in the New Testament, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the great theme of the gospel. Sinners are commanded, invited, urged to flee to Christ. Let me put it this way to you. We cannot save ourselves from the misery and penalty of sin. We cannot and will not meet our own spiritual need. Only Christ can do this for us. The wonderful news is that he has done it. By his obedient life and his sacrificial death on Calvary, he has provided a perfect righteousness. He has taken the punishment due to our sin, restored communion between us and God, and opened up the path to life eternal. Therefore, you need to come to Christ, personally, urgently, forsaking your sin and trusting him alone to save you. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Thirdly, we discover the mercy extended. Isaiah 55 is a chapter of immense encouragement, hope, and comfort to sinners. This invitation from Christ is an invitation to life, to fullness, to joy, and salvation. The world and sin promises much, but provide little. The pleasures it offers last only for a short season. But that is not the case with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ offers forgiveness and fullness. He offers the very best of blessings. Listen to these words again. Isaiah 55 verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Turn from your sins and accept Christ as your Saviour and Lord, and you will enter into the joyful experience of God's salvation.
Please accept our invitation to visit us at Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The church is located at 1207 Haywood Road in Greenville, between Pelham Road and East North Street. Our Sunday worship services are at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., with Sunday school for all ages at 9:30 a.m. For further information, please call the church office at 864-244-2408 or visit our website at faithfpc.org. You may be assured of a sincere welcome as you worship with us. May the Lord bless this presentation to your heart.